All right, guys, today I want to talk to you about the original church growth program. This is not something that you are taught in a seminary. This was not something that you get from a print off or a blueprint or going to some seminar or a conference. I want to talk about the thing that is the elephant in the room that most church leaders don't want to talk about. And I want to take you through some history, and I'm going to show you this original church growth program guaranteed the church to grow, but it's something that none of us ever want to endure. Let's talk about it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and we want to welcome tonight's program. I want to welcome all of our new viewers. If this is your first time joining us, Rumble, YouTube, wherever platform you may be watching or joining us from, let us know in that comment section below that you are new and where you guys are tuning in from. And at this time, I want to welcome all of our podcasters. For you guys listening by Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, we welcome you as well. Listen, can everybody do us a favor real quick? It won't take that long. I need you to smash that like button. This is going to help get our material, get eyes on it, and these algorithms on these platforms, and it's going to help you keep up with us on these social media programs. You could take it even a step further. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell notification. You guys listen by Apple, by Spotify. If you'll give us a good review, that will help us circulate this on these podcast programs as well. And we'd love for you to do that. And listen, take it a step further. Jump in, download our free app today. You can get it easily by just, all you got to do is download it. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. Every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, everything is going to be right at your fingertips. All right. So as I said at the opening or introduction of this podcast, I talked about the original church growth program. What is it that invoked growth? What is it that springboarded the growth of the early church? I want to tell you today, it's one word and it's called persecution. You can go and study, and we're going to show you this. I'm going to take you on a journey, and I'm going to go all the way back and show you the first example of this. And let's do that right now. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 1. I want to show you here in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Look what it says here in your Bible. And now there arose a new king over Egypt. This is a new Pharaoh that has taken the seat of leadership over Egypt. Now remember, during this time, the children of Israel are in captivity. They've been in captivity for 400 years. And it says in your Bible in Exodus 1:8 that there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. All the Pharaoh before him was acquainted with Joseph and what happened. How God used Joseph after 13 years of being in prison. He went through all that he went through. He was lied on. He was abandoned. He was left for slavery by his own brothers. His family turned on him, only to be put into the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, tried to have an affair with him. And because he stood up and he stood his ground and he rejected her, it cost him persecution. Joseph was put in prison. And there, but God was, the Bible says, even though he went through all what he did there, he was rejected, he was abandoned, he was sold to slavery, he was put in prison. Your Bible says the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was still with him. And eventually he was promoted, even in the pit, even in the prison, God promoted him. God's hand was upon Joseph, and God used Joseph, even in that dark place. And eventually, in the book of Psalms, it says that Joseph remained in chains and fetters until his word came to pass, or his word was manifested. So eventually, God took him from the pit to the palace, promoted him, and put him into the very, put him in headship as a governor over Egypt. And through the wisdom of God, the instructions that was given to Joseph, God used Joseph to save all of Egypt through a horrible famine, to save the nation of Israel and Egypt through a famine that would come. And then eventually a new leader came over Egypt. And I want to, let me go back to the scripture. Look what it says here. And now again, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Notice there is the evidence of growth and multiplication among God's people. And look at the response of the headship of Egypt, the administration, if you would, the leadership. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, God's people. Lest, look at this, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up to the land. Oh, guys, can I preach a little bit just here on this one little section? Do you realize that the enemy does an assessment on the threat level of the church in today, in today's modern church? If the enemy sees and makes an assessment of a threat level, what the enemy will do, watch this, is he will use leadership, leaders, and administration over governments to, watch this, to bring hardship and persecution against the people of God to try to silence them, divide them, and keep them weak. Why? Because a unified church, a powerful church, and a bold church is a threat to the enemy and his assignments. Oh, some of y'all need to have ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit is speaking today. Not me. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is speaking through this broadcast today, if you're listening. So notice here, notice what the strategy was. The Pharaoh, who, this Pharaoh was a godless Pharaoh. He did not serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He did not have a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He served other gods. And thus, his mentality was, he looked and he saw the people of God were growing, they were increasing, they were multiplying, and he said, we fear that they will become stronger than us, and they will overthrow us. This is why it should not surprise us that Christianity is under such attack around the world by governments, by societies, by elites. Why is it being under? Why isn't Buddhism and Islam and Confucius and New Age and Hinduism and all these other religions, why are they not being verbally assaulted, threatened, shadow banned, censored? Why are they not under attack? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. And the enemy, listen, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. Okay? Ephesians 6, Paul said that. This is not a war of flesh and blood. We're dealing with unseen forces called demonic powers. These demonic powers are pulling the strings and orchestrating events going on behind the scenes, and it is manifested, watch this, through legislations, bills, censorship, and so forth, that has the intent, watch this, to silence the church, or can I use this word, persecution. Persecution from the enemy to silence the voice of the church. Why? Because the enemy understands that if the church would ever stop being divided over the most ridiculous things, if we could ever put aside the bickering, the murmuring, the complaining, the divisiveness, and being divided over non-salvific issues. Are you hearing me? I'm pre-trib, I'm post-trib, I'm mid-trib, I'm no trib, I'm no rapture, pre-rapture, mid-trib, Saturday worship, Sunday worship, the earth is flat, the earth is not flat. We baptize this way, we baptize that way. I'm telling you, the church is so divided, and the enemy sets back and loves this because he understands as long as the church remains divided, it is powerless, and if it's powerless, it has no authority, and if it has no authority, nothing will change. Come on, I'm going to have to make this simple for somebody. Nothing, I don't care who you vote for come November, whether it's the donkeys or the elephants. If there is not a repentance that comes from the church, the ecclesia, a turning from the sins and wicked ways, then there is no healing that will come on the land from the Lord, period. And you know what's going to happen? We'll just go deeper into judgment. All the while, the enemy strategy is working efficiently, and that's keeping the church from multiplying because he's keeping it divided. But watch this. What if I was to tell you that persecution has a way of bringing increase and bringing multiplication and growing the church? Let me say that again. What if I told you that persecution could be a good thing to come to the Americanized Western church? Because the Americanized Western church has been too comfortable far too long. Let's go back to the text, Exodus 1, verse 11 now. Therefore, listen to this. Here, this is the strategy of the enemy, guys. I'm telling you. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. Here comes the burdens upon God's people. And these they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But watch this. Here it is, verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I said, come on, somebody. I said, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Now, I'm sure the children of Israel didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that the more they were afflicted, the more they would multiply and the more they grew. Now, this is a kind of a model of this. We see this in Exodus chapter 1, but let's take you all the way to the New Testament church. Now, we can go to the book of Acts, and I can show you here we have Acts chapter 2. We have a glorious moment where the outpouring of the Holy Ghost takes place in the upper room. There's 120 that are filled with the Holy Ghost. They come out of that room. Peter raises up. He starts preaching the gospel. 3,000 souls are saved. People are getting baptized in Jesus' name. People are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People are getting saved. People are coming into churches, growing and multiplying. But with it came persecution. Persecution would arise, and as persecution grew against the early church, it continued to multiply. It continued to increase. It continued to grow. But the enemy turned up the dial. He turned up the persecution. Then we get all the way to the book of Acts chapter 12. And it says in Acts chapter 12, let me just pull this up here so you can read this along with me. In Acts chapter 12, it says, now about that time, Herod, the king, stretched out his hand to harass. Now that's the New King James. Some translations will flat out say he stretched out his hands to persecute some from the church. Then it actually says James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter as well. So this is, guys, this is not, this is the early church persecution. We're not talking about they were ridiculed or laughed at or mocked, or they were banned from YouTube or banned from Facebook, or their account was shut down. No, I'm talking about people gave their lives for the gospel. This is real persecution. In fact, you can go, when the Romans came and began to persecute Christianity, this is when it really got, we're talking about intense persecution. The early Christian church, they faced all kinds of various forms of persecution from the Roman Empire, particularly under the reign of Nero. This was around 54 to 68 AD. The persecution was driven solely by a combination of multiple factors. It was political. Listen to this. Persecution from the leadership of Rome against Christianity was driven by political, social, and religious factors, and it varied in intensity depending on time and location. Now, think about this today. In the westernized church today, the westernized Christianity, persecution is beginning to dial up, and it's coming from political, social, and religious, sectors that are fueling this. You could see this everywhere. You could see this on social media. You could see this on blog sites. You could see this in mainstream media. Let me talk about this. Under the persecution of Nero, here's what Christian persecution faced. This is what the persecution of Christianity faced. They faced, in 64 AD, there was what was called the Great Fire of Rome. It was a massive fire that destroyed much of Rome, and Nero faced public suspicion. And there's countless accounts of this, that Nero actually started the fire himself and blamed it on Christianity, and howbeit the Apostle Paul. They laid the blame on the Apostle Paul. And the sad thing is that most of the early church believed the lie on the Apostle Paul. This is why Paul wrote in one of his letters, he said, "All of Asia has forsaken me." Isn't that sad? How sad is that? Even the early church bought into the lie. Oh, can I? Guys, this brings up a talking point that I want to discuss for the next 2 minutes. I was around a circle of family and friends, and we were talking about what we're seeing on mainstream media. I'm seeing publications from liberal sources that publish things, and the rhetoric that's being used, the accusations that's being used, the slander that's being used against Christians. And I said, I'm telling you, this is setting the stage for a dangerous precedent that's coming. And here's why. Because people are buying into this. People that are weak-minded, that don't know the Word of God, they're not grounded in the faith in Jesus Christ, they are being succumbed to the lies of the mainstream media, and the enemy that's orchestrating this to bring about persecution to silence them. And because of this, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I believe this is setting the stage to bring us to where Jesus warned us, that the time would come that husband will turn against mother will turn against daughter, son will turn against father, and entire households will be divided. And family members will be in prison, and because of their allegiance to Christ. Now, we don't understand that here in America. But if I was to preach this overseas, if I was to preach this in the Middle East, if I was to preach this in places where there's harsh persecutions against Christianity, they would understand this. They would relate to this because it's already happening. But guys, I'm telling you, history is repeating itself. And just because it's not happening here in America, this is the dangerous thing about this. Here it is. Ready? The westernized church in America has become so apathetic and lukewarm and powerless that I truly believe that the only thing that's really going to wake us out of our slumber is real, genuine persecution. Like we have read in history books, like that we see in the Middle East, like we see in other third world countries that we can't relate to in America. But I believe, again, the stepping stones are leading to this. We're not here now, but we're seeing the soft forms of persecution. And what I mean by the soft forms of persecution, first, it comes through being ostracized on social medias, being censored on social media, being banned on social media, being flagged, being called this, labeled this, or labeled that. Then it moves up to where you are shut down as a street preacher in certain areas of U.S. cities, U.S. certain places in certain states in the United States. In these cities, you can't preach the gospel there. They're silencing you if you touch on certain quote unquote sensitive topics. You're being persecuted. You're being fined. Some people are put in jail. So that you could see the level of persecution is ramping up. So then in Rome, let's go back to Rome. Then Christians under Nero were subjected to brutal punishments. They were arrested. They were tortured. They were executed in various gruesome ways. According to the Roman history, some were sewn into the skins of wild animals and then attacked by dogs. You don't hear about this. Others were crucified. They were put on crosses and set on fire to illuminate Nero's gardens at night. Christians were seen as a distinct and suspicious group with Roman society, partly because they refused to participate in traditional Roman religious practices and worship the Roman gods. Let me say that again. Christians were ostracized. Why? Because they refused to bow down and worship the gods, little g, of the Roman Empire. And because of this refusal to conform, it was perceived as a threat to Roman social order and public welfare, often leading to them being labeled as troublemakers or problematic. Do y'all see this? Is anybody seeing this pattern with me? This is happening again. Guys, we're not at the level of the execution, the torture, and the burning on crosses. But there's these things, they started out again as soft forms of persecution, and it intensified the darker it got spiritually. And for the next two centuries, Christians were labeled, they were targeted, and they were persecuted. These persecutions was often sporadic or localized based on the attitudes of local governors or the populace. Some communities were tolerant while others were more hostile. Think about that. Think about places in the United States where they're more tolerant to Christianity. Now, I'm talking about real, true Bible Christianity. I'm not talking about this lukewarm, woke, another Jesus Christianity. I'm talking about the real, uncompromised Christianity. There's some place you can go to the United States and they're more tolerant, whereas you can go to other places and they're not. They're more hostile. Christians, they faced trials, imprisonment, confiscation of property, exile, or execution, depending on the circumstances. Many early church believers became martyrs because they refused to announce their faith, even under the threat of death. Stories of martyrism such as Ignatius of Antioch, Polycarp, and Perpetua became central to Christian identity, proving examples of steadfast faith and courage. Several emperors issued formal edicts ordering Christians to make sacrifices to their Roman gods or face the consequences. These were part of broader efforts to restore traditional Roman religious practices and consolidate imperial authority. Let me give you the three causes of persecution of Christianity under the Roman Empire. This is historically. Now you tell me if this is not resurfacing again, if we're not seeing the thing that which was is the thing that shall be. Ready? Here we go. Number one was religious nonconformity. Again, we're talking about three reasons why persecution was so intense against Christians under the Roman Empire. Number one was religious nonconformity. Christians refused to worship the Roman gods or participate in the imperial cult in their day, which involved offering sacrifices to the emperor. Because of this refusal, this was seen as the rejection of the Roman civic duty and could be interpreted as an act of defiance against the state, and there was consequences because of it. All right, number two, wow, this is a good one, political suspicion. Early Christians were sometimes viewed as politically subversive because they professed allegiance to a kingdom of God and a king who was Yeshua or Jesus rather than the Roman emperor. And because of this, it was perceived as a challenge to the emperor's authority. Wow. Now, you're going to see, now this is happening, guys, already in places like China. I'm going to show you some shocking things about China in just a minute, and it's all going to play into this. All right, so number one, religious nonconformity. Number two, political suspicion. And number three was social isolation. Christians were often seen as antisocial or secretive because they met in private, celebrated a communal meal, which was the communion, and called each other brother and sister. Because of this, rumors and misunderstandings about their practices, including accusations of, quote, cannibalism or incest, fueled mistrust and hostility. Wow. In other words, Christians were isolated from society because they refused to partake of the cultural norm of that day. So again, what did that result in? They were labeled, they were ridiculed, they were ostracized, they were considered to be odd, abnormal, troublemakers. Now you listen, you tell me, is this happening again? Is this happening again in 2024? Now, because of this, the body of Christ is already under this level of persecution in other places outside of America. For example, why do you think the underground church in China is growing so rapidly? The underground church is it's an unregistered Christian house churches. These are unregistered Christian house churches that operate outside of the officially sanctioned state church known as the Three Self-Patriotic Movement, or the Protestant and the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association, or Catholic. Again, these are the official sanctioned state churches, okay? In other words, these are registered in the Chinese government. So the underground church are not registered to that, and there's a reason why that. These underground churches operate in stealth due to government restrictions, and because they believe in the Bible, watch this, for example, they believe in a kingdom that is not China, the kingdom of God, and they believe in a king, Jesus, who is not Qi, then this is a threat to the communist nation. Now, there is estimates that just suggest that this underground church in China has, again, these are estimates, tens of millions of members. Wow. Tens of millions of members. Some estimate that places the number of underground Protestant Christians in China at around 30 to 60 million. Now, these individuals meet in private homes, private offices, and other discreet locations to avoid detection by authorities. This movement is characterized by a strong emphasis on evangelism, discipleship, and a commitment to maintaining a faith practice independent of state control. Everything I just described to you, friends, is polar opposite of the westernized church. And here's the question I have to ask to all my Western believers. Would you still show up to serve God and be faithful to your walk with God if it meant that you would face some of these levels of persecution? Now, it's easy for all of us in the state of our comfortability to say, oh, yes, Brother Ricky, I would do that. But I want you to really search your heart. Think about this. Think about the level of persecution that these people are under. And I'm telling you, you want to talk about separating the wheat from the tares? You want to talk about that? I'm telling you, this level of persecution is either going to make you or break you. But it is of my opinion that this, it's come to this, guys. I really believe that it's going to take this type of persecution to really grow the real, authentic church of God. Now, I'm not talking about the denomination church of God either. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Now, I want to show you how bad the level of persecution is against Christians in China. Let's watch this clip. This is a really good example of this.
Chinese Christians receive Bibles for the first time.
With as many as 130 million reported Chinese Christians and the continuing explosive growth of the underground church, there are now...
Do you hear that? The continuing explosion of the underground church, it exploding in numbers and growth.
More Christians in China than members of the Communist Party.
Wow.
The Chinese government's persecution of Christians has only led to even more church growth, causing the Communist Party to...
What do we tell you? It's led to more church growth.
Now target the Bible itself.
With what it calls an update with socialist values and removing passages that don't reflect communist beliefs.
Whoa. Do you hear that? So the government, in order to, again, to stop the explosion of the growth of the church, the underground church, they are, they're removing Bibles in circulation. They're banned anyway. But now they're circulating the revision Bibles that have taken entire passages out, contorted the scriptures, and added communism as in there as to be praised and celebrated. Now, you may say, now stop for a second. You may say, well, that's not happening here in America. I can tell you that this same demonic assignment is already happening with Bibles here in America. We just did a whole segment on this. This Passion Translation, that's a perfect example of this, of adding and taking away from the scriptures and adding your own comment or your own opinions in this and use and calling it scripture. This is no different. But look at this. This is what's happening in China. Let's go back to this.
Chinese are no longer content with all of these attempts to try to forcibly get Christians to deny their faith. And so now they've just taken it to a new level where they're trying to rewrite the scripture and to confuse them and to prevent them from becoming Christians.
Wow. Do you hear that? The devil can't get them to give up on their faith in Jesus Christ through harsh persecutions. So now his assignment is to work through the leadership of China to twist and contort and change the Bible to keep them confused. Now, y'all see that? You don't think that's happening in America? You don't think it's happening with all these revisions and new translations of the Bible? Because the enemy knows if he can't silence Christians in America, all he's got to do is soft. He can bring a soft level of persecution. And it's flagging them on social medias. It's censoring them. It's threatening them. And then here's a great strategy. We'll just come up with this great new translation of the Bible and we'll even deceive leaders in the body of Christ to endorse it, to keep believers confused.
In one example from a high school textbook, a Communist Party revision of John chapter 8 about the woman caught in adultery says,
Jesus once said to the angry crowd who was trying to stone a woman who had sinned, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her."
What?
When his words came to their ears, they stopped moving forward. When everyone went out, Jesus stoned the woman himself and said, "I am also a sinner."
Wow, guys. Look at that. Look at that. I mean, I don't even have to repeat that. That is absolutely blasphemy. And this is what they're doing. This, I mean, where do I even go with this? The fact that they made Jesus stone the woman and then make him in this revision, they make Jesus make a blasphemic statement, a heretical statement saying that I'm a sinner. Now, that's totally contrary to the scriptures. The Bible says he was without sin. He who knew no sin became sin. Come on, you go read the whole book of Hebrews. This is absolute blasphemy. And sadly, these newcomers, babes in Christ who don't know the word, if they could read this, if they've never heard the word, then they don't know any better.
We have seen the escalation. The Bibles for children is totally forbidden, and all the Bible apps were forcefully removed from every e-commerce app store. Millions of Chinese Christian children were forced to sign a form renouncing their faith in public.
Wow, children forced to renounce their faith. They had to sign this, renounce their faith publicly, Bible apps banned. And again, I truly believe this is a prelude. If you think that this could never come to America, wake up. Wake up, America. Wake up.
The issue for the Chinese Communist Party is control. It is always about control. And they see the gospel, they see the Christian message as something that would take control away from the Communist Party. And so this new socialist translation of the Bible is just another step for the Chinese Communist Party as they try to control the church and really co-opt Christianity as a means of controlling the people and helping them serve the party's interests.
But one Chinese pastor was quoted as saying, "The rulers have chosen an enemy that can never be imprisoned. They are doomed to lose."
Guys, we got to hear that again. Let me rewind that. Listen to this.
One Chinese pastor was quoted as saying, "The rulers have chosen an enemy that can never be imprisoned. They are doomed to lose."
Come on. How powerful is that? Listen, this gives me chills, guys. I've got chills. These Christians are facing this type of level of harsh persecution, and they make these bold proclamations like this. Yet we got people giving up on God and giving up on church and giving up on Christianity for the most dumbest reasons ever. And yet, under these harsh persecutions, you heard the report. It's only intensifying the growth. Now, here's another video I want to show you. Now, this was a missionary that went there. This is a missionary that went there firsthand in China, got in there by stealth. He's going to tell you this whole story. We're going to walk through this together. But I'm telling you, you won't talk about this, will convict you. This is so convicting, guys. Listen to this. And again, when you watch this, after we watch this, you're going to have this same conclusion that I did. What are we doing? What is going on? What kind of Christianity do we really have? Listen to this.
Time to time we train leaders. And this time we brought up 22 leaders from the Hunan province, and they rode 13 hours on a train to get to a hotel that they came up two by two in these elevators so as to not draw any attention. And then they got to a hotel room, a little apartment room. It's only about 700 square feet in the little living room, no air conditioning, hardwood floor, 22 sat there.
That would eliminate most Christians right there. 13 hours of traveling, a tiny room, wood floor, no air conditioning. Think about the westernized American church. This goes against every one of these rules of church growth. You got to have, you got to have this, and you got to have that, and you got to have this. Notice he said, no elaborate sound system, no fog machines, no platform of entertainers, worshipers, whatever you want to call them. None of that stuff. It's the exact opposite. Yet these people are hungry for a living God and a move of God.
I came in, and when you teach in China, you start at 8 in the morning and you don't get done till 5 at night. You teach.
Well, that eliminates the other half. What do we have now? Most of your mega churches are within at least probably maybe an hour, hour and a half, and you're done. Bring them in like cattle, boom, 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 3 points in a poem, your message, and then out the door. And he's saying they start at 8, they go all the way to 5 p.m.
Each the whole day. They were sitting there, all 22 of them, and I looked around and I said, "Now, if we get caught, what will happen to me?"
Listen to this.
They said, "Oh, you'll get deported in 24 hours and we'll go to prison for 3 years.
They risk being in prison for 3 years. They come to a small room, 13-hour drive, no air conditioning, wood floors, 8 hours of preaching, teaching. They risked all that for all that. They gave up their comfortability, gave up their pleasures, all of this to risk. In the event if they get caught, they would suffer. They would have to endure 3 years of prison.
I said, you're kidding. How many of you have been in prison for your faith? Out of 22, 18 raised their hands.
18 out of 22 has already been in prison. Think about it, church. They've already been in prison for 3 years, minimum. And they've been released. And now you would think, I'm not going to go back to prison. How many people would renounce it? I'm just telling you, I'm being real here. People would be like, I'm not going to go back to prison. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll succumb to the government. I'll do whatever. But now they're back. 18 out of 22 of these are back and ready to risk it again. And you already know that if it's a second offense, I don't know what that means for them.
I thought, no way. I looked at him and I said, you 22 people, how many people do you oversee? Because they were all of these small group leaders, underground church leaders in the Hunan province. I said, how many, if you counted up all the people under your jurisdiction, how many would it be? And they counted them up and they said, little over 20 million.
20 million. These 22 are overseers, all together 20 million Christians, underground, off the radar believers in Christ in China.
I said, what? See, we forget there's 1.3 billion people in China. This is crazy. Well, I had 15 Bibles and I passed them out. Obviously, 7 didn't get them. And I said, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and we're going to read it. And just then, one lady handed hers to somebody next to her. And I thought, interesting. Well, we turned there anyway, and as we started reading it, I understood why she gave it away. She had memorized the whole thing. She just recited the whole chapter.
Memorized the whole chapter. Can quote the whole chapter. That's why she gave her Bible away. Now you say, well, that's great, but let's hear why. Why did she memorize the whole passage?
When it was done, I went over to her at a break, and I said, You recited the whole chapter. She says, oh, yes, I've memorized many chapters. I said, where did you memorize so many chapters? She said, in prison. She said, you have much time in prison. So I said, but don't they confiscate the Bible? And she said, yes.
Listen to this.
So people bring in scriptures written on pieces of paper, and they bring it in. So I said, but then if they find that piece of paper on you, won't they confiscate that? She said, oh, yes, that's why you memorize it as fast as you can.
Come on. We can't relate to this. Guys, we've got, some of us has got 12 Bibles, 12 different translations in our home, and we can't memorize 30 scriptures. And we can't memorize 30 scriptures because we're not that dedicated to the Word of God. We're not dedicated to studying ourselves to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the Word of truth. We're distracted by Netflix and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and a presidential debate and a football game. College football's in. We're distracted by all these things, and we can't even memorize scriptures. Why? Because we're not facing this type of persecution. It's a luxury for us. For these people, it's a matter of life and death. They take this thing seriously. This is not a religion to them. It is an allegiance to the kingdom of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Because even though they can take the paper away, they can't take what's hidden in your heart.
Wow.
I thought, wow. Well, after 3 days, you fall in love with these people. And when it was done, I said, how can I pray for you? I'm going to go back to America. You guys have been just so wonderful. How can I pray for you?
Imagine how this made this guy feel after experiencing this. And then he's like, I'm going back to America. You know how, I'm telling you, that would wreck me. Guys, that would wreck me to experience real, authentic Christianity like this. And a love and a passion for God, only to go back to a lukewarm, apathetic church. that we have here in America. I know this guy has got to be wrecked from this. You know he is. You know this guy was never the same after this.
They said, you know, Wayne, you guys can gather like this whenever you want to in America. We can't. Could you pray that one day we'll be just like you?
Yeah, listen to this.
And I looked at him and I said, I will not do that.
Now, I got to rewind that. Listen what they asked. This is what they asked him to pray. They asked him to pray this. Listen to this.
America, we can't. Could you pray that? Well, after 3 days, you fall in love with these people. And when it was done, I said, how can I pray for you? I'm going to go back to America. And you guys have been just so wonderful. How can I pray for you? They said, you know, Wayne, you guys can gather like this whenever you want to in America. We can't. Could you pray that one day we'll be just like you?
They said, can you pray that we'll be one day just like you? And this broke this man's heart. And listen to what he said. Listen to his response.
And I looked at him and I said, I will not do that. Big, incredulous eyes looked at me and they said, why? I said, because you guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here.
Come on.
In my country, if you've got to drive more than an hour, people don't come.
Guys, come on.
You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat not only here for 3 days on a hard wooden floor, but you did it without air conditioning. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people don't often come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family.
Think about it.
We don't read any of them.
Come on.
You hardly have any Bibles. And you memorize them from pieces of paper. I will not pray that we become like you become like us, but I will pray that we become just like you.
Think about it, church. Now he said, I will pray that we become like you. You know what that means? It means persecution. I know nobody wants to hear this today. I know this is not the popular message. I know some of y'all wanted me to do a segment on my reaction to the presidential debate last night. Guys, I am not, listen, I'm going to let you be known to this. I refuse to exhaust all my energy and efforts to analyzing politics. Again, I will pray for our nation. I will pray for the potential candidates that we have. I will pray that the Lord's will be done. I will pray that true repentance comes from the church so that the healing may come to the land and that God just may bring a reprieve to the judgment that we've been continually in. Now, if he doesn't, that lets me know that there has been no repentance from the church and that we are just progressing right along as the Bible said that we would. And it has been clearly evident in Scripture what the future holds. But I'm going to tell you that if we want, and I know this is probably going to go over like a lead balloon, but for those who want real, authentic Christianity, signs, wonders, miracles, the growth of the early church, and you read the book of Acts and you say, oh Lord, I want to see that happen. I want to live the book of Acts. Yeah, listen, everybody wants to be a Christian until it becomes biblical. And when I'm telling you, you can go to church growth seminars. And the westernized Christian church is full of all kinds of leaders who has their opinions. They've wrote their books. They've wrote their teachings out. They've done these seminars and they said, this is what you need to model your church like this. And you need to do this program and your service needs to be X amount of time. And you need to make these bullet points and use these scriptures and don't do this and avoid saying this and don't say this word. And you don't want to offend anybody and you want to keep the music to 3 songs and then give a slight announcement and do this and use these type of graphics and this type of software and you need to use this type of music and get this kind of a sound machine and this kind of a fog machine. You need to mimic all these. No, fooey on that stuff. If all of that produces what we've seen as the Americanized church over the last 10, years or so, then I don't want, then that, you know what that tells me? This program is not working. But Brother Ricky, there's mega churches out there and they've got 50,000 people. They've got 70,000 people. Yeah, but are they full of the Holy Ghost? Are they preaching the truth of the gospel? Are they, is it sound doctrine? Or are they making disciples of another Jesus that is not even of the Bible? There's no standard. There's no convictions. There's no power. No, thank you. I want to see a real, true move of God, but I fear that most people have never, who always make this expression of we want real revival, we want a real awakening, we want a real move of God, we want real church growth. I don't think they've really counted the cost of this, of what that means. And I, listen, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. And I really fear that the real answer to a real church growth model that's going to produce the power of the early church, the impact of the early church, the growth of the early church, the influence of the early church, it's one word, and it's called persecution. And I don't know what things, I don't know how this election's going to go. Since we've talked about the election, I don't know how this election's going to go. It come November, I don't know. I don't have a word from God. I don't know who's going to win the presidency. I will say this, though. I am not ignorant of policies of certain candidates. And I will say this, if a certain candidate wins the election, then I believe that the soft forms of persecution that Christians are facing right now is going to be ramped up. If you think it's tough now, I believe all of what we're talking about, all of this stuff is going to increase. Them coming after the founder of Telegram, the founder of Rumble, Elon Musk, one of the last few remaining platforms of free speech is all under the radar right now. What do you think is going to happen if a certain individual wins the election and they have a history of not favoring Christianity and persecuting the church and voices that oppose a Ahab and Jezebel administration? Again, just like in the days of Elijah, when there was an administration that was ruled by Ahab and Jezebel, those prophets were silenced. Jezebel went after them. She went after their heads. She went after to silence their voices. And I'm telling you, this could very well happen again and very soon. And I'm only telling you, and we can leave it at that, but that's the bad news. The good news is, again, I'm going to take you back to Exodus. The more they were afflicted, come on, the more they multiplied and grew. That's the silver lining, friends. Is persecution going to ramp up against American Christianity? Yes, I believe it will. It will happen. And here's how, listen, it won't happen right away because we're too weak. We're too passive. We're too compliant. We're too complacent. We're too lukewarm. Because lukewarm, complacent, compliant, weak Christianity is not a threat to the kingdom of hell. But if the remnant ever rose up out of her place and recognize the power that they possess and the authority that they possess and the authority of their voice as a voice crying in the wilderness, then it would garnish the attention of the cities, the regions, the world. But with that attention of being garnished from those sources, it will also attract the governments. And once the governments of the world see that voice crying in the wilderness, I'm talking about the remnant rising up in the last days. I believe we're seeing a slow movement. A remnant is rising up of voices crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And as those voices rise up, they will eventually get the attention of leadership of governments. And in that will open the door for harsh persecutions like we've seen in history. So my question is today, are we ready for that? And if we're not ready for, if your answer is, I don't know, maybe, no, I'm telling you, I really feel like we need to be prepared. I'm not saying this is going to come next year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. I don't know. I don't have a time stamp on. I don't have a timeline. But I can see this just from history. And it's repeating itself. All the progression is going in that direction. And we're making those steps towards this. So we need to be prepared in our hearts for when this comes. It's not a matter of if, but when. When this comes, we've got to be prepared and ready for this. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, guys, that's our main website. Right there on your screen is our free app. I want you to pick this up today. It's free. It doesn't take a lot of space up on your memory of your phone. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications so that you can be notified every headline, every podcast, every breaking news. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. As always, we want to give you an opportunity. Listen, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you week after week, and maybe it's your home church, whatever the case, whatever your relationship is, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give right there on your screen by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines at P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So I wanted to, again, I know it's Wednesday. We plan on coming back here tomorrow, September 12th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. I've got a word I'm finishing the finishing touches on. I've been taking notes on this. I want to share this with you tomorrow night. I plan on sharing this with you. But I also want to remind you guys, Monday nights, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, live prayer, corporate prayer. This we launched this past Monday. We had at one time over 400 people live on the stream. And we had a great time. We prayed for an hour and the Lord moved. There was answers to prayers and people were blessed by this. And again, if you're listening by Apple, Spotify, Rumble, Facebook, wherever you're listening, you need to come over here and subscribe to our YouTube channel because it's not streamed from any other platform but this platform. Why? Why am I doing that? Because we want to get everybody unified under one place so that that way we can see all these prayer requests and do this. So I want to encourage you to join us again Monday nights, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Bring your prayer request and come expecting and come on, let and give God an opportunity to move in your life and in your family. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We pray that you've been blessed. And listen, we'll be back here tomorrow night, Thursday, September 12th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.